If you found Mark chapter 15, stand with us tonight. Let's reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Mark chapter 15, and I want to begin reading in verse number 6 and read a few verses in your hearing this evening. I do believe, if I remember right, one of the first times that I preached for Brother Donald at Shady Grove, I preached out of this chapter of the Word of the Lord. But a totally different direction tonight that we want to go, feel like we need to go, than what we did on that evening some 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when we were preaching that night. And I believe I made some folks real worried that evening because I poured some water out on the new carpet. But tonight, far as I know, I'm not supposed to pour water out this evening. But I poured water out. It's just water. It wasn't going to hurt it. But it did pour water out on the brand new carpet. I don't know how long it had been in. But, I mean, folks looked like they had seen a ghost whenever I poured the water out. But we was preaching about how the Lord poured out of that cup. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it won't be possible, except I drink it, thy will be done. And the Lord poured the water out on him, poured that cup out on him. Psalm 75 said that he would take the cup and pour it out on him, wring it out, even the dregs thereof. It's the judgment of God, and we showed how he poured it out on Jesus, that it might not be wrung out on us. And I am grateful for that. Tonight we are in this same chapter, the same fundamental truth, and that is the freedom in the substitutionary death of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm grateful I know about that blessed Lamb of God, about that freedom, about that liberty, about that substitutionary death. We'll never go wrong when we preach about Calvary. Mark chapter 15, verse number 6, the Word of the Lord says, "Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire of him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will you then that I shall do unto him who ye call the King of the Jews? They cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? They cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. The term used in Matthew 25 or 27 and 25 is that they said, Let his blood be on us and on our children. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Never forget tonight when you think about the salvation of the Lord and the glorious salvation that we do have, the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though salvation is free to us, it was not cheap to God. It cost the Lord the very best that heaven had, that he might redeem sinners just like you and me, so that we might be free from our sin and able to live and to have life more abundantly. In our text tonight is a man who is headed for a certain death. But Jesus died in his place. It's hard for us to understand why anybody would choose Barabbas over Jesus. Why that the mob would cry out, Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. How about my friend, men still do. You see, Barabbas is like us. Jesus died in his place. He became his substitute. And when you choose yourself over Christ, you're like the Jews crying out, Give us Barabbas. Give us the carnal man. Give us the natural man. Give us the guilty man. And put that innocent man to life. And Pilate asked the question, What will you then that I should do unto this man whom you call the King of the Jews? What do you think that I should do unto Jesus? And they cried out, Crucify him. Crucify him and let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Lord, help us tonight. I want to talk for a little while, if the Lord will be our helper to you this evening, about freedom for Barabbas. You pray for us and pray the Lord would help us tonight. as we try to preach to you for a little while. About 5:30 this afternoon, I had something else altogether that I was going to preach on, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Mark chapter 15 and preach about Barabbas. I told my wife about it. She said, I've heard you preach about Barabbas so many times, I can preach it for you. I said, well, you might have to hop on a plane and come this way, because I can't seem to remember anything about Barabbas right now. But it's the Lord that's wanting me to preach about it. And so I began to study and pray and try to seek the face of God. And I ask you to pray for us that the Lord would help us. I want to be obedient. And I want to be His servant. I want to preach His message and not mine tonight. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, we see in this story, this account of a freedom for Barabbas, a man who is a criminal. Amen. Luke tells us in his gospel, in his record about this man Barabbas, in Luke chapter 23 and in verse number 19, the Bible says about this man Barabbas that he was for a certain sedition made in the city, and for a murderer he was cast into prison. In Luke 23 and 25 it says, and he released unto them for that sedition and murderer was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. This man Barabbas is a insurrectionist. He's a bad actor. He has spoken railing words. He has the words of evil. He has a record of evil. He has a background of sin. My friend, he's a bad dude. He is a criminal. He's a bad actor. But one time, he was somebody's baby. At one time, he was somebody's little boy. At one time, my friend, he was just a child. He hadn't always been this way. He hadn't always been the murdering thug that he was. By the time we see the record of him in the Gospels, I've preached for many, many years now, out of men in striped uniforms in the penitentiaries. I've preached for lots of years in the maximum security prisons. There's some bad guys and some bad dudes, friend, and in some bad places. And some places that'll make you nervous when you go in and relieved when you come out. And my friend has seen some men who'll never see daylight again outside of the prison walls. I know what it is to hear the gates click behind me, hearing that my friend, the solitary confinement unit. I know what it is to talk to those men who are waiting for a death sentence to come on their lives. And every one of those men at some point was sometimes somebody's baby boy, somebody's little boy, some little child somewhere. They hadn't always been wearing a striped uniform. They hadn't always been under condemnation. They hadn't always been a criminal. So also it was with this man Barabbas. How in the world did he get to such a place? How did he end up, my friend, in such a place as to be a murderer, as to be a railer, as to be a rebel, my friend, as to be a thief? Oh, God, help us. And we find the answer in his identity tonight. My friend, his name is Barabbas. This name Barabbas, Barabbas, if you will, it means the son of the father. The latter part of that word, Abbas, is Abba, crying out, Abba, Father. You recognize that phrase? The first part of his name is Bar, which means son of. How much the way you remember what Peter said? I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar Jonas. That is Simon, the son of Jonah. And so his name is Barabbas, the son of the father. This man's name means the son of the father. Some historians have said that his surname, or maybe a prefix unto his name, was Jesus. That some had called him Jesus Barabbas. Jesus, son of the father. I feel like that's probably an identification to who died for him. I don't think his name was Jesus, but that he was later known as that man that Jesus, the son of the father, died for. But he hadn't always always been who he was. I mean, at some point he was his daddy's pride and joy. At some point he was the son of his father. He was the apple of his mama's eye. Oh, my friend, but he'd come down a far and a bad road. Oh, my friend, here he was, by name a son of the father, and yet sin made him a lawbreaker. My friend, sin made him at enmity with the Father, a man made in the image of God, and yet sin made him an enemy of God. Sin made us a lawbreaker. God said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness, and he formed man of the dust of the ground, and made us for fellowship with God, and he gave man but one command, that is, of all the trees of the garden you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you'll not eat of it, and the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. But the Son of the Father followed after the lies of the devil, and to sin put him in an adverse relationship with God, and put him at odds with the law of God. And this man Barabbas had been a son of the Father, but now he's at odds with the law, and now he's at odds with God, now he's at odds with society, and now he's a criminal. He is a lawbreaker. Amen. One might well say it this way: God deformed man, sin deformed man, and only Christ can transform man. This man's identity was such that he was a criminal. We see his criminality in the insurrection. The Bible calls him an insurrectionist. And verse number 7 of our text said, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with him who had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. My friend, he was an insurrectionist. He committed murder in the insurrection. That insurrection is an uprising, if you will, a political rebellion. This man is a rebel. This man has a stubborn spirit and a hard head and a stiff neck. This man had become an enemy of the law, an enemy of the state, an enemy, my friend, of the law and order and of the rule of law. Oh, God help us. He had no respect for the law. Not only was he guilty in his insurrection, he was guilty in his murder. He was guilty in his words, guilty in his deeds, guilty in his acts. My friend, you say, but I have not committed murder. I'm not a thief, and I've not tried to overthrow the government. And yet James chapter 2 and verse 10 has your number. Humphrey said, he that is guilty of the law in one point is guilty of it in all. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, we are lawbreakers, criminals by nature, criminals by record, guilty by association, guilty by activity. I mean, guilty before God. My friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. I tell you, we're in trouble. We are criminals. We are lawbreakers. The cause of our record tonight. He's a criminal in his identity. He's a criminal in the insurrection. He's a criminal in that he is an instigator. Verse number 7 said that he lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him. It seems as though he's the ringleader of a whole bunch of folks that have gone off the reservation and, my friend, taken off and been disobedient to the law. Others were bound with him because they ran with him. Now they are bound with him. If you follow the crowd, they'll get you in trouble. And in this case, this man is the leader of the crowd. He's the leader of the bad group. He's the leader of the wrong crowd. I remember when I was just a boy, my mom would always tell me, son, don't go with the wrong crowd. Don't hang out with the wrong bunch. Don't go the wrong way. Don't get around the wrong kind of people. They're a bad influence on you. But she didn't know was I was the leader. I was the head. I was the one leading that crowd. I wasn't following them. They were following me. That's who Barabbas was. He was the ringleader. He was the head. How about this insurrection group? How this group of lawbreakers? Matthew chapter 27 called him a notable prisoner. A notable prisoner. You know what the Apostle Paul had to say about this kind of thing? He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to this world. Woo! To save sinners of whom I am chief. The Lord didn't just come to save good little boys and girls in Sunday school, but He came to save criminals and convicts. He came to save the ringleader. He came to save the one of the bad crowd. And my friend, He came to save the chief of sinners. And He's able to save all the little Indians that follow along. I'm glad God's in the saving business. And He knows how to forgive sins tonight.
Hallelujah.
And so He's a rebel, He's a ringleader, He's a bad influence. He was the wrong crowd. He's a criminal. And then secondly tonight, I didn't even take off my watch till now, so that means everything I preached till now didn't count against the clock. And so, my friend, not only is he a criminal, but also, by the way, we started home at 7:30. We have church sometimes till 9:30. I can't get my folks to leave sometimes for an hour and a half. It'll be 11 o'clock before they get out of the building. And so whatever time we got tonight, it'll seem early to me. Amen. Our crowd stays late. I mean, on Sunday, they don't have to worry about eating leftover roller food and the heat lamp food at the restaurant. By the time we get there, they're having to make fresh stuff. Amen. My friend, we hang around a while. That's exactly right. A criminal is what he is. But not only is he a criminal, but he's also a captive. This man is in captivity. He's in prison. He's an inmate. Verse number 7 said he lay bound. How with him that had made the insurrection. His rebellion and sin had left him a prisoner. Had the hands he wouldn't use to praise God were bound in fetters. The feet he wouldn't use to walk with God were now in shackles. My friend, he wouldn't do what he was commanded. But now he could do nothing for himself. He fought the law and the law won. That's where every lost condemned sinner is tonight. My friend, captive. This is where they live. They cannot set themselves free. My friend, they cannot get free from who they are. Romans, my friend, stood and guarded the place where he was. As my friend, centurions, guards, those soldiers guarded him. If some way or another he had been able to wriggle loose of the fetters on his hands, if some way or another he could have shaken the bonds and the shackles from his feet, if somehow he could have made it past the gate that had him in prison, there would have been a guard, a soldier, a strong man that would have blocked him and stopped him from ever getting to freedom and ever getting to liberty. Jesus said, how can a man enter into a man's house except first he bind a strong man, and then he can enter into his house and spoil his house or take what is good out of his house? Satan is that strong man. My friend, every sinner, they've tried it over and over. They've attended the AA meeting, but they can't save the shackles and the chains. They've gone to the dry clinic, but the bonds won't come loose. The church has tried to straighten them out. They've been through the baptismal pool. The psychiatrist has prescribed them some medication. My friend, but they've got a problem. The strong man just won't let them go. If they're going to get free tonight, you know what you need. You've got to have a stronger man. You've got to have somebody to bind a strong man. Have somebody to put the devil in his place. Has somebody to overcome principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness of this world that you might be set free. Woo! But I'm so glad I know the one, my friend, who triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. He knows how to bind the strong man. He knows how to spoil the house. He knows how to set the captive free. Woo! Oh, bless his name. Praise God for freedom in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Hallelujah. And when you start to get under conviction and the Holy Ghost comes on your life and the devil shows up, the old strong man in your life, you know what he'll say to you? Why, you don't need to go down at that altar and get saved. You sure don't need to call on the Lord. Why, if you were to ever get religion, that'd be so much fun stuff you couldn't do anymore. Why, if you ever were to get right with God, just think about everything you'd miss out on. Think about all of the fun and the good times and all this stuff that you wouldn't get to have. He's a strong man. He'll stand in your way. He'll do all he can to get you to delay. He'll do all he can to get you to deny the Lord. How to get you to, my friend, refuse him. Oh, listen, hey, but praise God, listen. It's not about what you can't do no more. It's about what you don't have to do anymore. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, I'm a thanking God tonight for everything that I'm missing out on. Amen. Hey, listen, I've never worn a prison uniform. Every time I go in there, it's in a suit and tie. I've never had to stand up against the wall and wait for them to come through and count and to search me for drugs and paraphernalia. Praise God. Amen. I've never been through the dry clinic. Have my friend, my children, have never seen their daddy with a bottle in his hand or a kneeling by her. I'm not a slave to pills. I'm not a slave to a drink. I'm not a slave to a casino. Hallelujah for what I don't have to do. Hallelujah for what I'm free from. Thank God I can lay my head on a pillow at night and I don't have to be ashamed to look my wife in the eye. And I don't have to be ashamed to tell my children about where I've been that day. And I'm not afraid my employer might find out the way I'm living. I'm so glad I've been delivered from this whole world of sin. Thank God, and he set me free and let me live for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know, and listen, maybe some of your relatives, kin folks, I don't know. I don't know anybody hardly around here. And I appreciate some of you that's come in to visit with us this week and tonight that are familiar faces, and I appreciate you. But I don't really know where I am and who lives around here and who does what. But I thought as we rode through town tonight, and I looked around, and there was a nice little eating place somewhere or another close to town. And everybody was sitting outside and eating, and it's beautiful weather to do that. And they were sitting outside having supper and such. But then we rode by the sign. It said such and such. Eatery pub. Beer, hamburgers, wings. All such as that. And I looked out there. All the drinks on the table and things. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad I'm not sitting somewhere or another. I'm not sitting around a table with some liquor in front of me. Or a bottle of beer. I look into a television screen hoping to find something to make me happy. Or to get me away from the misery of my life. But I'm saved by the grace of God. Got the Holy Ghost living in my heart. Headed to an old time revival meeting. With the hope of heaven in my soul. A holy Bible in my lap. The joy of Jesus in my heart. Praise God. I'm so glad I'm here since he's mine. I'm not a slave to this whole world. I'm not a slave to what the devil says. Not to what he offers, to what he does. Praise God, you can be set free. He'll bind the strong man. And you can be set free tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Barabbas was a captive. And then I want to say tonight, not only We'll see a criminal and a captive. But if you watch this story, you'll see the story of a court that takes place here. At verse number 7, notice what your Bible says. It said, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." Notice the Bible did not say he had allegedly committed murder. It did not say he was charged with murder. Your King James Bible, which is impeccable, which is perfect, which is accurate in every way, in which there is no flaws nor errors, your King James Bible said, this man was guilty. He did. He had committed murder in the insurrection. That is, he's just as guilty as the day is long. My friend, he had committed murder. He was not under charges. He was convicted. My friend, he was guilty. He was where he deserved to be. He had no excuse. The court would act justly. He remembered the night. Not only did you realize that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, did you not only realize that there were charges out for you, but through the conviction power of the Holy Ghost, God drew you into the courtroom of God, and the Lord lets you know you're guilty. You're the one that's guilty. You know what that's like? You say, "But wait a minute now, preacher, everybody's a sinner. All have sinned. I'm just like everybody else." Everybody is a sinner. I'm no more guilty than anybody else is. And you're right, friend. But it works kind of like this. I'm headed up 75 here a while back. And while I'm headed up the road driving, 85, 90 miles an hour, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going with the flow of traffic. Everybody's a speeder. Everybody's breaking the speed limit. Everybody's a lawbreaker. Everybody's going too fast. I'm just one of the group. I mean, no need to point me out. But you know what happens? The state patrol sitting on the side of the highway. My friend, he pulls out where he is. He turns the blue light on. I'm looking around as if, well, who's he going to get? Because all of us are guilty. He could get anybody out here. He could stop any of us. And we all are guilty. But you know what? As soon as his blue lights get behind me and fill up my automobile, it doesn't matter what everybody else was doing. It doesn't matter what everybody else was not doing. My friend, it was not everybody that was a speeder. It was me that was a speeder. It wasn't everybody that was guilty. It was me that was guilty. It wasn't everybody getting a ticket. It was me that was getting a ticket. It wasn't everybody else in trouble. It was me that was in trouble. Oh, listen to me. When the Holy Ghost deals with your heart, that's what it's like. It's like the God of heaven turning on the blue lights. And you can say, well, everybody's a sinner. But when he shines a light on you, it ain't everybody that's a sinner. It's you that's a sinner. It ain't everybody that's guilty. It's you that's guilty. It's not everybody that's under arrest. It's you that's under arrest. But hear me, it may not be everybody that can get mercy, but you can. Amen. There is help and there is hope for you. Help our friend, it is only in Jesus. The court. And so this man is guilty. He's not just accused, he's guilty. And then fourthly tonight, I want you to notice about this freedom for Barabbas. I want you to notice the condemnation that is on his life. He's committed murder in the insurrection. And Pilate says, "I tell you what I think I ought to do. Instead of just crucifying this Jesus or him and these other three guys that we got out here that we need to crucify, this Barabbas and these two thieves, instead of putting them all up there, it's that time of year when I try to do something nice for these Jews, to sort of keep them on my side. And so tonight I'm going to show some mercy and I'm going to release unto them one prisoner, one of these prisoners, and I'll let them choose who it is." And so he says, "You pick which one, I'll release whichever one." You see, all of them are condemned
condemned to the same death. They all are headed in the same direction. They're all going to go to the same place. A condemnation just as surely as Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. That is the direction where Barabbas was heading. That is the way he was going. I read several years ago, and they said, to the writer of the history said, that in these days that they would take, when a man had been accused and had been convicted and had been condemned, that they would take and write the accusation against him, the ruling of the court, and my friend, the judgment of the court on a record, and place it on parchment paper just outside the lockup where he awaited for his sentence to be carried out. I can see in my mind's eye the charges that have been written down in the court. My friend, in that Roman court, this man's a lawbreaker. This Barabbas is a rebel. He is guilty. He's been charged with insurrection. He's been charged with murder. He's been charged with high crimes and misdemeanors. The verdict of the court is he's been found guilty. The rendering of judgment is he'll die the death of crucifixion, and he'll hang before the people between the heavens and the earth until every last breath is out of his body, and he'll die for the sins and the crimes that he's committed. In shackles and chains he awaits for the sentence to be carried out. Men and women, boys and girls would walk by. I see the sign posted there. I see the man in his captivity. Think what a crying shame it is that he's in the shape that he's in, and that he's under the condemnation that he is. His crimes that he had committed, his punishment that is before him, his condemnation that is death. Like all others that have done what he's done, he'll meet the same judgment. He'll not be the exception. What a crying shame it is. I tell you tonight, as we walk past this lost, condemned world and see them bound in their sins, it ought to prick our hearts and cause us to be burdened that men are in the shape they're in, that they're dying like they are, that they're lost like they are, that they're headed to hell like they are. It ought to provoke us to have a burden. It ought to provoke us to witness to somebody. It ought to provoke us to preach the gospel message. It ought to provoke us to pray for sinners. It ought to provoke us to live a life with a testimony before them. I tell you, this world is under condemnation. That is a condemnation unto death. Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ezekiel 18:4 said, as the soul of the Father is mine, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And that soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Oh, my friend, death. All have sinned. And because of one man's sin, death is passed upon all men. And then all have sinned. I tell you, we're guilty just like our fathers were, under condemnation. Oh, God help us. In the book of Luke, it says that his crime began with sedition. That word sedition comes from a Latin word, which means to tear apart. It means to create division or to drive apart. It was a seditious speech that was given. It was a political uprising, a tearing apart of the nation. But this man, my friend, though he had started out trying to tear apart others, tear apart a nation, and committed the crime of murder. However, my friend, now his sin and his crimes has caused his own life to be torn apart. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll create a tearing apart. It'll tear apart moms and dads, parents and children. It'll tear apart churches and homes and lives. It'll separate you from your sanity. It'll separate you, my friend, from society. Sin has a way of tearing apart, and my friend, tearing up everything that it gets involved in. There is condemnation on this man. And then tonight I want to say, we see in this account of the freedom of Barabbas, we see a criminal, we see a captive, we see a court, we see condemnation. But I want to tell you tonight, we see a cross in this man's life. We see a cross in this man's life. Oh, from what I understand in reading after those who wrote about the traditions and the nature of this day, the Romans were experts in causing a man to crumble beneath the pressure and the punishment of crucifixion. And it was their nature not just to simply man to put a man to death, but to embarrass him and to cause him to suffer, to inflict as much pain and anguish, my friend, on him as possible. He'll torment him unto his death, beginning with the beating and the mockery. My friend, that slapping of the cat of nine tails upon his back and snatching loose the pieces of hide upon his back until his ribs and his entrails were exposed. And my friend, at Golgotha, they beat our Lord Jesus. This is where that Barabbas was headed. My friend, before the cross came into his life, my friend, they would mock these men, make fun of them, make a public spectacle of them. They didn't crucify them out in solitude and in a quiet place, but they drug them through the city streets, hung them up on the highest hill, put them up in the air so that all could see. A soldier stood around at the foot of the cross and barked out threatening so that all who would dare come against the Roman government, I would know you better not. That judgment will surely be on your way. What's happened to this man could surely happen to you. Oh, my friend, that's where Barabbas was headed. When we see him in our chapter of the Word of God, from what I understand, they would cause these men in some way or in some fashion to participate in the construction of the very cross beam that they would die upon. My friend, another layer of the mental anguish and pressure that they put on these men as they handle the very wood that their lives would be taken on. Barabbas, can you imagine him as his hands would be on that splintered wood? And in his mind, all he can imagine is, in just a day or two, I'll be hanging naked before all the people of the land. My sin, my guilt, my flesh, I will be exposed. I'll be found out. It'll all be over with. I'll receive the just reward for all the wrongs that I have done. Oh God, help us. And all the while he's building his own cross. I'll tell you, that's where every lost man is tonight. Every day with every act, either my friend that does more to build his cross. Every lost man with every day of sin, with every rebellious act, with each refusal of the gospel, with each denial of God's word, with each word of mockery toward the church, and towards the man of God, and towards the word of God, how we build our own crosses, heading for death, heading for damnation, heading for trouble, and deservedly so. And yet Jesus, the trial doesn't begin unto him till later in the week. And he's taken and arrested at night. And he's drug up before the council of Caiaphas. And then to Pilate and to Herod and back to Pilate again. And all night the trial goes on. And as soon as what Pilate has rendered his final verdict, they drag him out to the place called the pavement, that place of Golgotha, and begin to beat on him. Jesus never went into, my friend, the holding cell. He never went into a cross building room. He never made a cross for himself. Somebody said, how in the world did he die on a cross? He died on somebody else's cross. He died on a cross that was built by and prepared for somebody else. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a substitutionary death. He died on a cross somebody else made. He died on a cross that was made for somebody else. I tell you, my friend, we may live our lives building your cross, doing your own thing, living your own way, shaking your fist in the face of God. that Jesus died on the cross, made by our sin and our rebellion. He died on the cross for our sin and for our rebellion. Praise God for the price that He paid to set us free tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close out the chapter of old Barabbas' life. He's been incarcerated while the things are happening in Mark chapter 15. I don't believe he knows what's even taking place. While whatever is happening here is going on, Barabbas is in the jail cell awaiting for his prison sentence to take place, awaiting for them to tell him how things are going to go, awaiting for them to come get him and take him off to the hill to crucify him. Oh, my friend, he doesn't know about Jesus. He doesn't know about the court case. He doesn't know about, my friend, the mob that said, crucify him and give us Barabbas. I could be an old rustic voice. Of a great big Roman soldier comes echoing to the door of the prison where Barabbas is. Barabbas, come on, son. It's time to stand before the court. The judge has called your name. It's time for you to stand in front of the judge. I'm not now, Barabbas says. I'm not really ready to die. I'm not really ready for this to take place. I know I did wrong, and I'm so sorry for all that I have done. But please give me just one more day. Ask Him to have mercy on me. Would you please see if you can intercede? That's not my job, Barabbas. It's my job to deliver you before the judge. And he drags him into his place, into the courtroom. And the gavel of the judge hits the desk. And they call the name of Barabbas. He steps forth in fetters and chains. And if they ask him, Barabbas, you've been found guilty. You've been sentenced to die. And your name has been called. It's your time to stand before the court. But Barabbas, things have changed. And you're not going to have to head to that cross. Barabbas, somebody else is going to take your cross for you. You can go home now. You can go free now. But wait a minute, what about those crimes? Wait a minute, judge. What about all that I did wrong? What about those murders? What about those thefts? What about that rebellion? Oh, none of that matters now, Barabbas. Another man's taken care of that for you. And you've been set free. You just go on home now. Woo! I say, thank God I am free, free, free. I praise His dear name for a substitutionary death for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I am free because of that tonight. Woo! Bless His name. Hallelujah. I don't know how all this happened. The Scripture doesn't give us a detail about Barabbas. You let me make some suppositions tonight. And go along with me and see if maybe you learn something out of it that'll help you like it's helped me. Maybe Barabbas does like this. Well, I hate to just leave. I mean, I'd like to go home, but I'd hate to just leave. Just walk out of here like this. You said somebody else has taken my spot and somebody else has taken my place. Somebody else is dying instead of me. I need to at least meet this man, see him, find out what's going on. Oh, Barabbas walks out of the courtroom, asks one of the Roman soldiers standing there. I said, who is this fellow that's taken my place? Who is this man that's dying on my cross? Who is this man that's caused me to be able to go free? That soldier said, well, I don't know a whole lot about him, but that's him going yonder up Calvary. Oh, look at the mess he's in. I look at the stripes on his back. Oh, look at the bloody hair. Oh, my friend. I look at that crowd, how they mock him. How they curse his name. Oh, Barabbas said, surely, if they turn him, and if they crucified him and turned me loose, and I
know what a horrible man that I've been. How surely he must be. A dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner. Oh, no, Barabbas. He's not a sinner. He's just a substitute. He's dying where you should have died. He's going where you should have been. And his stripes were your stripes. His blood was your blood. His condemnation was your condemnation. His cross was your cross. Woo! Somebody ought to say hallelujah tonight. His death was your death. He didn't do anything wrong. Pilate said he found no fault in him. He was found not guilty. He's not being crucified for what he did. He's been crucified in your place. He's been crucified in your stead. He's dying that you might go free. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Barabbas, no way in the world could he understand such a thing. What kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for me? Unworthy to live and not fit to kill. But a man on a cross put me in his will that I could still go free. Woo! Bless his name. Oh, Barabbas, what do you do? Oh, I tell you what I think I'll do, soldier, if you don't think it hurt anything. I think I'll at least follow him up the hill. See what happens to him, maybe. See what I can find out about this man. Maybe I can find somebody up there on the hill that knows a little more about him. How he got here. How, what kind of person that he is. I mean, the least I can do while I'm here, you know, is watch him die. I mean, that's the least that I can do. Oh, Barabbas maybe follows him. I would. The Bible doesn't record one way or the other what happens, so give me liberty tonight. And let's learn from it. So Barabbas follows him up the hill and it tries to find out, listen, sir, do you know anything about this man, Jesus? How do you know anything about this man in the middle? Do you know anything about that one that they are crucifying? That one they are cursing? That one that they are mistreating? That one that they are spitting on? Do you know anything about him? He approaches this man who is well dressed. That seems like he has things together. Every stitch of clothes in just the right spot. Hair in the right place. He appears to be an intellectual individual. Definitely intelligent, dignified, absolutely clear thinking, well spoken. And he asks this man, do you know this man Jesus? Do you know how he got here on this cross, in this place? He said, oh yes, I know him. Let me tell you how I came to know him. He said, you might not would think so now, but I didn't always used to dress like this. As a matter of fact, they used to couldn't get me to put on any clothes at all. I didn't always have my right mind. At one time, I lived out in the graveyard. I cut myself with stones. I wept and cried. I was the craziest man in this part of the country. He said, that's when that man on that cross showed up where I was. Hallelujah, before he left town, he cast the devils out of me. And they found me seated, clothed in my right mind at the foot of Jesus. He said, that man Jesus made all the difference in my life. There's never been anybody like him. There'll never be anybody else like him. I love him. He set me free. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Oh, Barabbas surely must have thought, I've just got to know who this man is. He looks across and sees another man at the foot of the cross on the other side. And this man's just looking. And he's watching the cross. He's watching the women. He's looking at the scene of the heel. He looks all around him and sees those who stand by. He sees the soldiers. He sees the spear. He sees the crown of thorns. He sees the blood. My friend, he sees the sacrifice of the only Lord Jesus. And Barabbas said, "Sir, could I ask you a question?" He said, "Oh yes, surely you can." He said, "Could you just tell me, do you know this man Jesus? Maybe tell me something that you know about him. I just want to know somebody who can tell me about him. I need to know who he is." He said, "Well, I didn't know who he was either. I was just sitting down there beside the temple. And I said, him and his disciples had been into worship. And they came out." And John chapter 9 and verse 1 and said, "And Jesus passing by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth." Oh, listen, he said, "I never had seen anything." He's just looking around. He said, "I never had seen anything." And the disciples asked, "Did this man see him or his parents?" Said he was born blind. And he said, "Jesus gave me my sight." And he said, "You're not going to believe this, but when Jesus did a miracle in me, they threw me out of the church. They threw me out when Jesus did a miracle in my life." He said, "But I tell you what, nobody else loved me and nobody else would have grace on me." He said, "I met him in the market and he asked me, 'Do you believe on the Son of God?'" He said, "Lord, who is he that I might believe on him?" And the Lord told me, he said, "I am he." And he said, "I fell down at his feet and I worshiped him. He opened my blinded eyes one day." He said, "I know they're crucifying him. As some have said horrible things about him. Even back out in the temple, they said he's a sinner." But he said, "I'll tell you like I told them. Whether a sinner or no, I know not. This way one thing I do know. Whereas I once was blind, now I see." He said, "I'll tell you what I can tell you about Jesus. He opens the blinded eyes." Hallelujah to his name. I just got to know more about him. Wait a minute, Barabbas. He cast out devils. This man Jesus, he opens blinded eyes. "Lady, what do you think about him?" She's standing there in modesty. Oh, my friend. Perfect stature, perfect posture, perfectly standing upright. "Ma'am, it looks like you're an upstanding member of the community. Would you tell me, do you know anything about this man named Jesus?" She said, "Yes, I do. This much I know about him. Not only does he cast out devils, and not only does he give sight to the blind, but he straightens people out." Hey, you see, I went to church one day, 18 years bowed over. 18 years I've been going to church, and all I could see was my feet. All I could see was what was around me. All I could do was look down. I hadn't been able to look up in 18 years. All I saw was doom and disaster. All I saw was my own failures and my own faults. All I could see was how crooked I was, how crooked my life was, how bent out of shape I was. And the preacher couldn't straighten me out. I could not lift up myself in any wise. But Jesus showed up at the church house one day and he straightened me out when I was all bent out of shape. I tell you what I know about Jesus. I know he straightens people out. I do know that, Barabbas. I wonder tonight, do you know about that? Do you know how he straightens people out? Woo! Hallelujah. There's an humble man standing close by the tree. He's looking at it closely. The wood, the type that it is, the length that it is, the nature and the grain. He's interested in trees. He's been around where one was before. Barabbas says, "Sir," said, "do you know this man? Could you tell me something about Jesus?" He said, "I sure can." He said, "You know, it's interesting standing here beside this cross. First time I ever met him was at a tree." Hallelujah. And by the way, if you ever meet him, that's where you'll meet him too. He said, I sought to see him. Somebody said he's coming through town. I wanted to see him so bad. I'd heard about how he did all the things that he did and what he did and who he was and what he preached. But he said, I knew I'd never see over the crowd. So I just climbed up in a sycamore tree and sat down on a limb and waited for Jesus to come through town. He said, you're not going to believe me when I tell you this. But he came to the very tree where I was. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. I'll dine at your house today. He said, I came down that tree repenting of all of my sin, giving back everything I'd ever stolen. He changed my life. He said, I tell you what I know about this Jesus. When you meet him at the tree, you'll never be the same again. He'll change everything about you.
Hallelujah. Barabbas could have very well said, you know, that's real interesting. It's the first time I've ever met him too. And this is my tree.
Woo!
This is my tree. Oh, tonight, if you found yourself in that place, and tonight's the time that you've met the Lord, and God, the Holy Ghost, is speaking to your heart, and He's ringing the bells of your soul. And you said, tonight's the first time I've ever met Him. At my tree, in my sin, in my way of living, showed up in my life. Oh, tonight, how it'd be wonderful if you'd just get right with God. Oh, Barabbas could very well have said, wait a minute, this Jesus, He cast out devils. This Jesus, He gives sight to the blind. This Jesus, He straightens people out. This Jesus, He forgives sins. You know what else I bet this Jesus does? I expect He saves sinners. I expect He sets captives free. I expect He'll change my life. And tonight, if you expect that, if you believe that, if you know that, if you'll receive that, He can do it for you. You're Barabbas tonight and you can be free. Everybody stand if you would. I preach what the Lord laid on my heart. I've tried to be real sensitive to the Holy Ghost this evening and preach what God's laid on my heart. Tonight you need to pray. Maybe somebody in this place lost. I don't know what you want to do for an invitation, pastor, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever it is you believe we need to do tonight, and whatever this is right with the church for you to do, that'll be good with me. Tonight, if the Holy Ghost has dealt with your heart, God is calling your name. You know you need to get right with God. You've never been saved. Now's the time. This is the place. Today is the day. Get it right with God while you can. Listen, tonight you say, you preacher, you don't know what all I've done. I don't know what you've done. You don't even have to tell me what you've done. Jesus already knows what you've done. And He loves you in spite of yourself. He died on your cross. It wasn't His, it was yours. He died on your cross. He died where you should have and could have. He took your place on Calvary so you might be free tonight. And He'll set you free by the grace of God. Y'all sing for us when you get ready here.